Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. I do take advantage of the resources there. And you can also listen to these broadcasts. There's a link there for current or recent broadcasts, which will take you to an index. Do take advantage of those and the many Bible studies that are posted there. Right now we're in the book of Acts, Stephen preaching a message here in the synagogue to many skeptics, and I can see them. He's giving them a very correct and perfect synopsis of the faith that they hold. And I can see them sitting there bobbing their heads going, yeah, that's right, uh-huh, on many of the points that he's saying, yeah, that's right. It's obvious that Stephen knows the faith, that he knows the Word of God, that he knows the history of Israel, because that's what he is reciting to them. And he continues here, talking about how Moses had left Egypt, what happened when he killed the Egyptian, but the next day he was settling a dispute between his brethren, and one of them turns to him and says, "Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday?" Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons, because he did not know that he was seen slaying the Egyptian. And of course, the word got around. And when 40 years were expired, so now Moses is 80 years old, because he was 40 when this incident happened, 80 years old, 40 years later, there appeared him in the wilderness on the Mount Sinai, an angel of Yahuwah, says the Lord in the Authorized King James Version, of course, in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to it, behold, a voice of the Lord came to him, saying, "I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, "Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee to Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, 'Who made thee a ruler and a judge?' The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared unto him in the bush. He brought them out. After that, he showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, 'A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him you shall hear.' This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying to Aaron, 'Make us gods to go before us. For as this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we walk not. What is become of him?' And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the hosts of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, 'O ye house of Israel, have ye offered me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Molech, and the star of your God, Rephan, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. Which also our fathers that came after brought with Joshua into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. As saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne, and earth my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff neck, and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by disposition of angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Yahshua standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. It kind of reminds me of those swine when the demons departed out of that man, legion, when that legion of demons departed out of the man, went into the herd of swine and they all ran into the sea. Well, here you have the kind of the same thing. You have a lot of wicked men here, stopping their ears and running on Stephen with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Yes, he died. Chapter 8 and verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. And, you know, here we have a faker in the midst of Samaria, pretending to be a great man of God, and using sorceries to bewitch the people. And they all gave heed to this man, Simon, from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because of that long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And so you see here that even good people can be bewitched, but when they hear the truth, and when they see the signs and the miracles accompanying, well, they will believe. Whereas the wicked, even though they hear the truth, then they see, even if they see the signs and miracles, they won't believe. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip in wonder, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, what did he believe in? That's kind of what I wonder. What did he believe in? Well, he believed perhaps in the miracles and the signs. He believed that here was a man with power like he had, a man that could expand his power. Yeah, so let's read on and see what this Simon believed. So we have Simon of Samaria. We can call him Simon of Samaria so far, because that's what we have here. He is Simon, who was the great one, a magician who bewitched the people in Samaria. When he was baptized, and he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. And now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. So they had not received the Holy Ghost yet. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them and received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." So here Simon, he was a magician, a sorcerer of a sort, bewitching the people by the things that he did, and perhaps he purchased the secrets so that he could perform the miracles that he performed to make himself great. There are secrets. You see people that use sleight of hand. They're magicians today, and they perform. And we know that it's not really magic, but they learn an art. They learn how to deceive. And so this is the kind of thing that Simon thought, well, if they could teach me this, I will buy this knowledge from them so that I can do this magic too. And this is the kind of man, this is the character we're getting into here with this Simon. So he reveals some of his character and how he was able to do the things that he did before, because he somehow purchased these arts and these supposedly miracles, sleight of hand, tricks, things that most people wouldn't know. There's a lot of things I don't know how to do that I've seen people do, that they have the talent to do. So he says, he offers them money. He says, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said to him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter." So we find out that he has now neither part nor lot in this matter. That he's a faker. He's going along. He sees the miracles and stuff. He believes and knows. It's one thing to say, "I believe," as even the demons believe and they tremble. But that doesn't mean they have faith. Believing and having faith can be two different things. He says, "I perceive," verse 21, "thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me." And that goes more to his faithlessness. Why doesn't he just fall down and repent himself before God? No, but he doesn't understand yet. He says, "You have the magic power, Peter. You pray for me and it will be well." He's still looking to men and he's not looking to God. And many say that Simon, this is the Simon who took his newfound faith in Jesus and took it to Rome, and there established what had developed into the universal Christian church, or the Catholic Church eventually. And I think we have that document. You go to firstamendmentradio.com and you'll find it there in the documents archive. If Yeah, I'm pretty sure you'll find it there. Perhaps I'll put a link up there for those of you who want to read that. I'll put a link up there on the, the chat room when I get done here to make sure you can find that for those of you who haven't seen that yet. So he says, "You pray for me, Peter." Now, this is Simon saying this to Peter. And of course, we have Simon Peter and we have Simon the magician, and we should not get him mixed up. Because Simon would have also been called Father in Samaria there, because he was a great one. So he may have been called Simon Pater or Father Simon. And some people may mix that up with Simon Peter. And so if we had a Simon, a Father, or Simon Pater in Rome, who founded, as the cult claims, founded their cult, they claim that it was Simon Peter, but in actuality, it was Simon Pater. You can see how the mistake could be easily made there in the way the names are, would be pronounced. Also, we know from the scripture, we find nothing in the scripture to say that Simon ever went to Rome. As a matter of fact, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul was the one who spent all of that time in Rome. So why does not the universal church say that Paul was their founder? I kind of wonder about that. Oh yeah, that's right, because Paul wasn't given the keys of the kingdom, and they want the keys of the kingdom, right? That's what it is. So they misconstrue another verse, and that's why they want to take Peter, Simon Peter, rather than Simon Pater or Father Simon. So many people believe that this is the same Simon that was the Simon Pater or Father Simon, the first Pope, because Pope, of course, means Papa or Father. So there you have it. Okay, and they, verse 25, chapter 8, "They, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza," which is desert. "And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. So Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Do you understand what you're reading? Understandest thou what thou readest? It says in the Authorized King James Version. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip says to this eunuch. And he said, How can I understand except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before the shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation and judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Yeshua, Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down to the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So Philip was doing some of that Holy Ghost traveling that that we see occasionally as we go through the scripture, that way that we are going to get to travel someday. We will have to rely on crude automobiles and to get where we want to go. And we'll be able to travel distances that are beyond mind and out of sight. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Chapter 9 and verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So they're going to go find them all, and chain them up, and bind them, and bring them to Jerusalem for trial. And so this is what's going on in Jerusalem and in Israel at the time. This is lawlessness too, because as we know, it was not lawful for them to put people to death, yet the priests were becoming a law unto themselves, not following the law of God, neither following the law of Rome. So you see what a burdensome stone Israel and Jerusalem are becoming to the Roman Empire at this time. So we have Paul. We have he's on the road to Damascus. He gets his letters to the synagogue there, and he's on his way. Verse 3 is where we're going to have to pick up next time, because we have run out of time. So we're going to pick up here at Acts chapter 9 and verse 1 next time on Cross the Border. Remember, there's nothing more important in your life than that you do cross the border into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father. Yes, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and live forever. As always, in everything you say and do, bless His holy name. Hallelujah.